Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Let's open our Bibles at John chapter 10. We still have many things to learn from this parable, this extended parable given us by the Savior. Every word of God is good and true and faithful and full of blessings. And we can never exhaust the benefit of studying the Word of God. I'd like just to read toward the beginning of the chapter some verses. Verse 2, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." It's important that we notice these words and what it is that we are told about it. Now, we considered what the Savior tells us about himself and also what he tells us about his sheep. We considered the last time I was with you how he knew his sheep, and we read it there, and also how his sheep knew him. How his sheep know him. It's interesting that the sheep know, and we'll come to this before we finish today, but I want to state it now so that you can think about it. The sheep know him not because they know his face, not even because they know his scent. As many animals recognize their human masters by the scent. You might realize that you have a scent. And I don't mean the stuff you get in a bottle, but a doggy would know you just by the scent that comes from you. But that's not how the sheep knew their shepherd. It says they knew his voice. They knew his voice. That's important for you to learn. That's important for you to learn. There's a major doctrine there, actually. But we'll come back to that. Now, I started to say, although I think I can say a few more things about a particular truth that I mentioned last time, and that truth is that sinners run away and hide from the voice of the shepherd. Those that do not belong to his flock, they run away. When they hear that voice, they run away. We pointed out to you how that in Genesis, we see that instinct to run away from the Lord manifested in Adam and Eve when they sinned. Now, before they had sinned, they didn't run away from the Lord. I'm absolutely sure that when the Lord came amongst them, before they sinned, when the Lord came amongst them, they rejoiced to hear his voice. They immediately would have left whatever they were doing and run to meet him. But now that they have sinned, something else is controlling their heart. And they don't like the voice of the Lord anymore. And they don't like the Lord anymore. And so Adam and Eve hid themselves from the Lord. Went away into the trees and tried to conceal themselves among the trees. Tell me, are you among the trees today? As soon as we opened the Bible and the assembly began, did you head for the trees? Did you begin to withdraw so that you would not hear the voice of the Lord? That tells you, you know, that you're not one of his sheep. And I trust the Lord will have mercy on you and save you and make you one of his sheep. Now, that what we pointed out to you, that verse in Genesis, what we pointed out to you the last time we were here. But what I want to show to you today, just for a moment, is where that running away is going to end. And to see that, we've got to turn to the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, and in the book of the Revelation and the chapter 6, we're given a mini picture of the last moment of this age, the last minutes of it. We have a mini picture. I say we have a mini picture because later on in the chapters 18 and 19, we have a full picture given. But God teaches by the method that we like to follow here in the school. He shows you a truth, then later on he'll bring you back to that same truth and he'll show you more of it. And then later on again he'll bring you back to the same truth and he'll show you even more. If he showed you the big picture the first time, you couldn't take it in. You just couldn't take it in. So he shows you the small picture first, and well, you could pick out one or two things there very easily. And then the next time, because you're now a little familiar with it, you'll be able to see more, and so you build your knowledge. That's God's method, and you see that here. In Revelation chapter 6, the verses 15 to 17. And the kings of the earth, that is, the kings of the prophetic earth, the earth that will be the center of ungodly activities, anti-Christian activities at the end of this age. The kings that are all coming together, there's 10 of them, combining together against the Lord. And it's to them that the Savior comes when he returns to this earth. That is, he comes to them to battle. Now, that's not how he's coming for his people. He's not coming to fight them. He's coming to receive them, he's coming to welcome them. But the king, who are set in rebellion against the Lord, he's coming to fight them. Listen to me. If you want a fight, God will give you a fight. If you want to resist the gospel, God will give you a fight. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says, prepare to meet thy God. Have you ever heard that? Hand up if you heard that verse. Prepare to meet thy God. Yes, you have. A lot of you. Most of you. Now, that is often used by preachers as a warning in the gospel, and I don't argue with that. The preachers say, look, you've got to get ready and get saved in order to meet God. But that is not precisely what the prophet is saying, because if you read the chapter, you will see that. But rather, what God is saying there is, you've resisted me, you've defied me, you've rejected my word. All right, prepare to meet me now on the battlefield. That's what God is saying. He's coming in judgment, and he's saying, you who have defied me and you who have rejected me, well, I'm coming to meet you. Because, boys and girls, let me tell you, if you want a fight, God will give you a fight. That's one that you cannot win. Now, God comes to us in mercy. He comes to us in love. He comes to us in kindness. He comes to offer us the most wonderful benefits and blessings. But if we throw them in his face, if we throw them down and trample on them, then God says, you prepare to meet me in battle. People have the wrong notions about God, you know. You know what the Bible says? God is a man of war. He's a man of war. And he knows how to battle. And those who defy him and mock him and sneer at him and laugh at him, they'll see another side to him. And these kings who are gathered to defy the Lord at the end of this age, he comes. And it says, verse 15, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves. Isn't that what Adam and Eve did? Hid themselves. Well, here's sinful man at the end of this age, and that's what he's still doing, hiding from the Lord. They hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Poor sinful man still trying to hide himself from God, and he can't do it. He can't do it. Trying to hide from God, trying to block out the voice of God. But listen, this Christ-rejecting world shall hear the voice of God one day.
God is going to speak one day, and the world will hear. I go to the Old Testament, to the book of Joel. The book of Joel runs very much, especially the latter part of it, in parallel to the book of the Revelation. And in Joel chapter 3, the verses 15 and 16, those are two numbers you will find easy to remember. Joel 3, verses 15 and 16. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Now, had we gone back a few verses in Revelation 6, we would have read exactly the same thing. So, Revelation 6 and Joel chapter 3, talking about the same event. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion. The word used there, roar, is the word we use concerning a lion, a lion. What of the men, the kings of the earth, etc., in Revelation 6 say? They said that the wrath of the Lamb has come. Listen, boys and girls, there's a day coming when the Lamb shall sound like a lion. He shall roar in his anger against sinful man. The Lord shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Now, you might, as a Christian, when you come to that, you might fear when you read those things of what it is the Lord's going to do. And you might tremble. But the Lord just speaks a wee word of comfort. Don't worry. This anger of mine is directed against the wicked, not against my people. For the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. We don't have to fear that wrath. We don't have to fear that anger. We don't have to fear that roar of judgment, because we're under the blood. Do you remember in Egypt on the night of the Passover, and the death angel smote the firstborn in every household and in every place was not under the blood? Now, I don't know if everything was silent in that action. I know that as soon as the judgment began, the silence would have been broken by the wail of mothers and fathers as the firstborn died under God's judgment. But in the house that was under the blood, in the house of the Israelite, I can imagine they might well have been singing, at least some of them would have been singing. Singing a psalm of praise to the Lord. Rejoicing in the safety that was there. Well, that's how it is here. Yes, judgment will come and the Lord will roar against those who are not his. But those who are his will find comfort. Oh, boys and girls, that's why I tell you today, make sure that you're in the place of safety. You're under the blood. That you're in Christ. And that you are not still an enemy of his. So, the hiding from God that began in the Garden of Eden, here's how it ends. Adam and Eve didn't manage to hide from God in the Garden of Eden. The Lord found them. At the end of this age, man doesn't manage to hide from God, even though he's imploring the mountains to fall on him to hide him. That doesn't work. He's found out. Boys and girls, those who want to get away from the light of the gospel, those who want to get away from God, and who spend their life trying to turn away their eyes from the light of the gospel, they're going to get their desire. They're going to get their desire. You know where sinners are going who reject the Lord Jesus Christ? And we'll end our study this morning with these most solemn, solemn words. I'm reading from Peter, 2 Peter. 2 Peter in the chapter 2. The verse 4 of 2 Peter chapter 2 says this: For if God spared not the angels that sinned, those are the angels that joined the devil in his rebellion against God, God spared them not, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness. And so it will be with sinners. They rejected the light of the gospel. Well, then they're going to get their desire. They're going to spend eternity in utter darkness. Look further down the chapter to the verse 17. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved. I cannot press upon you enough that those who turn their back on the light of the gospel are going to spend eternity in dark. It's not a boy or a girl, but when they go to bed at night, they like a little light in the room. Sometimes it's just leave the door open a wee bit, Mommy, or there's a wee light burning that just gives a wee bit of light in the room. Not enough to keep them awake, just a little light. They don't like the complete dark, and that's how it is with all men. They reject Christ, that's where they're going, eternal, utter dark. That's why I tell you, boys and girls, heed the voice of the Lord. Be like these sheep that know the voice of the shepherd. Follow him. Are you following him today? Are you following the Lord today? Are you listening to his voice and obeying it? I didn't get finished. We'll be back again in the will of the Lord at the beginning of the week. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, be pleased to bless your word. We do desire to impart to the children a fear and a dread of being lost in all eternity. That's very proper, Lord, that they might fear such a thing. There's many things that parents would want their children to fear. Fear fire, fear electricity, fear heights, fear strangers. But, oh God, we want to impress upon them there's something that needs to be feared even greater than these things, and that is the fear of being lost for all eternity without the Lord Jesus. God bless your word to the boys and to the girls and the school today. Undertake for it. Remember those members of staff who are off on study leave or maybe not feeling too well, others who are off on assignments and courses. We commit them to thee and pray your blessing, especially as they travel. Look on us kindly then, remembering every home from which the children come. Bless them for Jesus' sake. Amen.